This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, there's a lot of discussion about spring football. We had, the UNC Bears in action, the CU Buffs in action. Earlier in the week, the Cowboys, Wyoming Cowboys were in action, and then last weekend was CSU. I love it. The drama surrounding anything that happens, positive, negative, whatever, in Boulder. Brian Howell with Buff Zone, our Buffs insider, on to talk with us now. And Brian, this is the way I go with it, man. I know you retweeted, or you ended up saying, "Hey, they ended up selling what, 20 to over 28,000 tickets." My thoughts on all of it, Brian. Honestly, it's like, it's spring ball. Of course, last year there's going to be more people, rain or shine, because it's brand new. We all love In-N-Out Burger, but we don't go like mad wolves after the first 2 weeks. Now we just kind of like it. So I don't really see a big deal one way or the other as far as attendance. Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
It's a busy Monday, man. There's a lot going on, and spring ball is – hey, thanks to Prime, spring ball is a big topic of discussion around here now.
That's right, and I do like your in and out analogy. I've never heard that. But I think it's spot on, when in and out comes here. It was the same thing 20-some years ago when Krispy Kreme came here for the first time.
Sure.
I told people that story recently because in and out. But, people just want to be a part of it, right? And so that was the same thing with spring game last year. And, yes, only about half the people showed up of that 28,000 the other day. But that's still – look, 2 years ago, it was nice and sunny, and tickets were free. All you had to do was just walk up and walk in, and only 1,900 people showed up. And so – for 14,000 or 15,000 people, whatever, to actually use their tickets the other day, that's still impressive, and it's still one of the most highly attended spring games in CU history, despite that downpour.
Well, again, to go back to the analogy, you might not go as much to In-N-Out Burger, but it's good, and hey, that's when I want a burger, that's where I'm going. I will be more concerned if we start seeing, a mass exodus during the regular season. But again, it's spring ball, and this is why I'm saying it. Like, if it wasn't for Prime, none of us would be arguing over who has the most attendance at spring football. Now it's a thing, and that is because of Deion Sanders.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Nebraska fans like to jump on it and say, we had 60-some thousand. Well, yes, we get it. Nebraska always sells out the spring game, and, hey, there, it's a great atmosphere there, but what else is there to do, right?
Right.
So, they're the biggest thing in the state of Nebraska. The Buffs have never been the biggest thing here. It's still pretty impressive, and, even with the rain, it was a good atmosphere, and it was a short spring game, and not exactly what everybody would have loved. You'd love to have a nice day, and they go practice for 2 hours, and you got a full complement of players and all that stuff, but that's not what it was. It's just a practice, and it was still a good atmosphere.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. So, Brian, last time we had you on, it was kind of an interesting time for CU. We were seeing a lot of players enter the transfer portal. That's kind of how this stretch is now, and I know the Buffs had a large number, maybe larger than some, but has it, in your mind, have things kind of evened back out? Because I'm seeing a lot of names on the daily here that are headed to Colorado. So has, for the most part, this all kind of evened itself out?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I'm curious to see, there's a walk-on receiver that went into the portal just a little bit ago. I'm curious to see post-spring if there's another little, I don't even want to call it an exodus, but another little rush to the portal. If there's some guys that maybe went through spring and realized maybe I'm not going to have a role here. But the portal closes for undergrads tomorrow, so that's going to have to happen today if it happens, I think. So I think for the most part it's over. Grad transfers could leave at any time, and we might see some people trickling out, but there's going to be a lot of people coming in. They still got about a dozen spots to fill.
Well, this is one of the reasons I love having you on with us, too, because you were on right around the time the McClain situation hit. And that was, I mean, you kind of enlightened us a little bit and said, hey, here's some of the stuff that's been going on that maybe they're not, you know, he's not as dedicated to his classes. He's not as dedicated to this. So the Cormani McClain thing to me, Brian, was interesting. And then right after that, he says, hey, I'm interested in going to a program that's not about the clicks or whatever. And thankfully, your conversation stuck in the back of my head where I'm going, okay, something's not adding up between the two here.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation. And, you know, and there's the irony of, you know, posting something. I'm not here for the clicks, but you post something to get the clicks.
Yeah. You
know, but, I mean, the bottom line is that I've heard from a lot of people that he just wasn't taking care of things. And as far as I think classroom stuff sounds like he's been doing okay there, but it's as far as meetings and the work he had to put in on the football field. And, you know, I just don't know if this was a great fit for him for a program. And, you know, we're seeing it. I mean, it's not like he's found a spot yet. And we haven't heard a lot of big name programs that are going after him. And so, he might land at a place like Memphis or, you know, Florida Atlantic or something like that, that maybe it's a good program for him, but that's not a five-star destination, right? I mean, that's not Alabama, Georgia, things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see where he lands.
Brian, what is the feel around this Buffs team right now? I mean, obviously there's still a lot of interest. There's no question. This is the most we've talked about Colorado, or at least nationally people have talked about Colorado maybe ever, say for, what, 1990. This is still a really interesting, cool time for Colorado. But what is the real feel around this program? Guys like you that have followed this program for a while, and you're seeing these big names leave, you're seeing big names come in. How do you think next season's really going to go down?
Yeah, I think the general feel, and I would guess this is the feeling in the building, is that they're a better team, you know, and you know they've lost 31 scholarship guys to the portal, but they've brought in 33. I think they're a better roster, and they're going to bring in more guys and some more depth. And I think when you think about this, if people would just take Deion Sanders out of the equation and just look at the progress of this program. You say they were 1-11 two years ago, and then they went 4-8 last year, and they should have probably been a bowl team, you know, because they should have beat Stanford. And you beat Stanford, you might win another one. And here they are, maybe with an even better roster. You look at it and say, huh, that's a pretty good two-year trajectory. You've got potentially the number one pick in the draft next year in Shedeur Sanders. You got potentially two top 10 picks in the draft and a better roster. I think most people look at it and say, that could be a pretty good football team.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, it's hard to separate him, of course, because he's so outward. He is talking a lot and all that. But the bottom line is, last year they were a better team than they were the years before that. There was a lot more juice surrounding the program. And it feels like they should at least, I don't know how many more wins they're going to get next year as opposed to where they were last year. But there's no denying it. If you just remove the clicks or whatever from this team is still on paper looking better every single year the primetime's been there.
Yeah, and the projections are that Shedeur is going to be the first quarterback off the board next year, and which means potentially the number one pick. And you've now surrounded him with what we think is a better offensive line, a better defensive line, which means hopefully a better defense. They brought in a couple corners, DJ McKinney and Preston Hodge, who are really good and are allowing Travis Hunter to then play in the nickel where he can be more effective. And so you're a better team. Now you're bringing in some running backs that have got some juice to them as well and some receivers. And you look at it and say, okay, this might be something, you know, pretty good out here. And I don't think they're going to be, you know, like the Big 12 champions or anything like that. But if they're a 7-5, 8-14, that's a really good season in my opinion.
Well, and you are starting to get guys with that firepower. You know, you mentioned it with Shedeur Sanders. A lot of the, you know, we're projecting him to be a first pick overall, certainly top 3-5 at this point. But, you know, you look at that over the weekend, and I think you posted this over the weekend, Brian. I snapshotted it here. Let me find it. For the third year in a row, no players from Colorado were selected in the draft. And that certainly seems like that's going to change. That alone should give, again, the people that love the Buffs don't need me to tell them those are all great signs going forward after this with these players. But even the ones that are really knocking what's going on with primetime, bottom line is you are bringing in a better a higher quality of player.
Yeah, no question. And you know, clearly it starts with Shador and Travis, and you know that's potentially two number one picks, if not top 10 picks. And but there's other guys on this team you look at and say, yeah, they might be NFL talents too. And it's not just Shador, Travis, and Shiloh. I mean, there's, you know, Will Shepard coming in here is a pretty good receiver. LaJonte Wester was number two in the country in receptions last year at FAU, and he balled out at the spring game on Saturday. So, you know, we're looking at some guys saying, okay, there's some pretty good talent here.
Well, let's go back to the Travis Hunter thing, too. I'll be interested to see how that plays out with the two guys you brought up and, you know, the defensive backfield. Just how creative will they be able to get defensively if Travis Hunter is playing more in that nickel role, or perhaps he can float around a little bit more, even, you know, really focusing, spying on that quarterback?
Yeah, I think that it allows them to be pretty creative. And, you know, even Coach Prime was saying this the other day that, he goes, I don't even know where he's going to start. He's obviously going to start, but I don't even know where he's going to start. But the fact that Preston Hodge and DJ McKinney have come in here and stepped it up gives them some options now to where all of a sudden you've got, you know, maybe the best player in America playing at that nickel spot to where he can help out and run support. And, you know, frankly, a lot of teams these days put their best receiver in the slot. And so now you got Travis Hunter on that guy. But then you can move him out if a certain team has their best player is an outside receiver. Now you put Travis out there. And so I think it gives you a lot of flexibility and maybe some opportunities to give him a little rest as well.
Brian, last one for you. How about the offensive line? We know we've certainly seen some big names popping for the Buffs. Do you feel like they've done enough to really, that was the big thing. They got to be able to protect Shador, give him time to create. How do you feel about those guys up front?
I feel pretty good about him. I think that group looked pretty solid the other day, and you know, I think Shador was sacked like on the second play, but he wasn't really touched after that. And I think that group is just overall better. And they've added in the last week three new transfer offensive linemen to add some more depth to that room. And they got a guy from Clemson yesterday that he was a true freshman of last year. He's 6'6", like 370. You know,
Wow.
Got some big guys coming in here, and so I think the depth is good. I think overall it's just a better group. It's not going to be like the best group in the Big 12, but it's a much better group than it was last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, we've said it. If they could just get that line improved just a little bit, that could be the difference in going to at least minimum a bowl game. So hopefully they get that figured out. Brian, my man, always appreciate you busting it over the weekend on transfer news, spring football news, all of it. And we'll look forward to catching up with you soon, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Brian Howell, Buff Zone. I'm telling you, with the Buffs, guys, the truth is always probably somewhere in between. If things are too high, they probably shouldn't be. If things are too low, they probably shouldn't be. That's where I'm going with it right now. The spring game, whatever. I mean, it was a big deal last year. I think that it was a big deal because it was brand new. And it's still a huge deal. They got their second best attendance this weekend when it was nasty. Now, I don't really like the weather thing as being an excuse because this is Colorado, and I mean, we got high school athletes running track in this stuff, Angel. 11:50 the time. They're in track season. 11:50, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll touch on spring football. Angel was out at UNC's spring game this weekend. We'll get his thoughts there, get into the top story of the day, more on the Avs and the Nuggets, and we haven't even touched the Broncos NFL draft from the weekend. All that and more coming up next.
Your Nuggets and Avalanche games crystal clear in NoCo.
Are we clear?
Crystal.
Bank of Colorado presents Nuggets and Avs broadcast now on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.